everybody, and welcome to the Rant of a Free Trapper. I want to talk about something that may kind of seem kind of strange to you, but just, I don't know, something to think about when you see stuff going on in the world today. And that's camouflage, but probably not the camouflage that you're thinking of. And the second part of the show, I've got an email on the business course that was a lot of questions. And so out of simplicity for myself, at the end of the rant, I'm going to answer these questions about the business course. And if you have the same type of questions, it'll probably answer those too. So I want everybody to think about camouflage. And the reason I think it's important is you can start seeing some of the stuff in the world in probably a little bit more realistic way. That way you can make a better educated guess about what's going on, and you can understand why things happen the way they do when it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. Now, I want us to transport ourselves back to about 1968 in the jungles of Vietnam. And we're there with our unit. And you got a guy sitting over there with a peace symbol on his hat, and another guy sitting next to him with a kill them all and let God sort them out on his helmet. And then, lo and behold, coming up this little muddy ditch between bunkers is a younger looking guy that's got another guy behind him that's got a little bit bigger pack than everybody else. Now, they're all wearing the same OD green uniforms. We've all seen them when you look at the Vietnam movies. Most guys didn't wear tiger stripes. It was just OD green, which, by the way, is a lot better camouflage than modern camouflage. Even the woodland camouflage, if you ever want to actually get camouflage. That's rabbit trail, irrelevant to the story. Here comes this younger guy up there. The camouflage in Vietnam was you do not salute the lieutenant. Now, the guy with the bigger pack, there's a radio in that pack, and those are called RTOs, radio. Radio something operator. I've been out of the Army for 20 years, so excuse me. But that was the RTO. That's what we always called him. That was a radio guy. But he didn't have his antenna up because he was also performing a very sophisticated form of camouflage. Now, they all had the same helmets, the same LCEs, the same OD green uniforms, the same muddy boots. All of that was the same. But the camouflage was no one saluted the lieutenant because he's the younger guy that's coming up the trail. Behind him is his RTO, his radio guy, but he doesn't have his radio antenna out. Both of those, along with the unit, were performing camouflage. Now, you may wonder, how's that possible? Now, out in the tree line, you had some Viet Cong snipers, and they're waiting to make a kill. But as long as everybody kept up the camouflage, the bullets didn't come as quick because the snipers couldn't figure out how to decipher the camouflage. And I'm going to explain this in a little bit clearer way, then I'm going to give a practical application of this just so you can understand what's going on in the world today with a lot of the craziness. We've all heard over and over again that predators prey on the weak, the sick, and the old. We've heard that forever. It's kind of like the saying that you can't pick the bird, you know, the robin eggs up from the ground and put it back in the nest because the mom will smell you. Now, robins don't have a sense of smell, but we've all heard that for so long we believe it. Is it a lie? Probably not. It's probably just a way, well, I mean, it is. It's not a truth. But it's to keep kids from messing around with bird eggs. So they thought that they had a smell, the mom would smell, they wouldn't pick them up. So this myth for generations, probably hundreds and hundreds of years, this has been repeated from parent to child. And the same when it comes to predator and prey. They attack and eat the weak, the sick, and the old. And it kind of, I think a lot of that myth comes back to, it makes us feel better. Because it's disturbing to someone that's not got some, that's borderline psychotic, that you got this cute little antelope running around and all of a sudden a cheetah chases us down and rips its throat out. Kind of seems like being a bully. I don't know about you, but I don't like bullies. You just don't. Me anyway, it's not something I would watch for entertainment for that purpose. But I remember growing up, and if you're younger, you're going to have to Google this, Omaha Wild Kingdom. And it was all over the world with all these animals. Everybody used to watch it. It was like revolutionary wildlife documentaries. And that you would see stuff in Africa and South America and North America and rams slamming into each other and cheetahs chasing antelope and big crocodiles coming out of the water and snagging different animals over in Africa. And I mean, it was everybody in America watched that, as far as I know. I mean, everybody did. But repeatedly through that show, the predators pick out the weak, the sick, and the old. And that's how they control the population. Now, lo and behold, this is a true story now, where camouflage is very different than what people think it is with herds. There were some biologists over in Africa that were studying zebras. And when they started the program of the zebras, they wanted to study the habits of the zebras, the breeding, all this type of stuff. And they made this little bitty error in judgment when they were documenting the zebras. In their mind, because think about the tiger stripes in Vietnam, the stripes on a zebra must be in some form of camouflage. The color of vision that the lions have or something, it gives them a form of camouflage. And it does, but not in the way that they thought it did. Now see, lions can disappear in the Sahara grass over there. They're the color of it. They can be very quiet. They get low to the ground. They blend in. Their camouflage was their movement and their color, which is what we think about today with camouflage. You know, the military wants to look like leaves. You got bow hunters that want to look like the side of a tree. You got Western hunters that want to look like sage bushes. All this type of stuff about what we think camouflage is. Here's what the biologists learned about the zebras. They got spotting scopes on these zebras, and they're trying to study individual zebras. So when they see something that's worth taking a note on, they take their note off of their glass and they write their notes. When they put their eye back up to the glass, they can't figure out which zebra it was that they were taking the notes on, because if you just did habits on all the zebras, it would be very different than picking out individuals. That's not the way that their research was supposed to happen. So they sit around and they go, well, I can't tell which zebra's what if I don't keep an eye on him all the time. And the other biologist is like, well, I'm running the same thing. So what they did is they snuck up on the zebras and they spray painted their butt with a red dot of paint, the individual zebras that they wanted to study. What do you think happened to those zebras within the next couple of days? Everyone was killed by lions. So the biologist sat back and went, well, that didn't work out very well. All of our tech subjects are now lion turds in the brush somewhere. So maybe the paint made them think that there was blood or there was injury or something like that. So they actually tranquilized some of these zebras and they put yellow and blue, kind of like cow tags, in their ear. If you've ever seen that, you know, doesn't look like anything is injured. Within 48 hours, every single zebra they put the ear tags in was lion food. It changed the focus of the research at that point, because it made no sense to the biologist who thought of camouflage in a form of hiding and blending into the environment. What they found out is, yes, the white and black is camouflage. But it's camouflage so the predators of the zebra cannot focus on a single zebra. Anything that happens to a zebra, he hurts his leg and he's got a funny gait, they can focus on that particular zebra and they go get it. It can't quite keep up with the herd and it's struggling back and forth. They can focus on that particular zebra and kill it. So the camouflage of the zebras is they're right there in front of you, but the predators can't really mount a campaign or coordinate a hunt because they can't figure out which zebra they're supposed to chase because they're all the same and they're all moving and they can't focus. When the biologists put the red paint of the ear tags, they took that away from the zebra even though they didn't mean to, and all of them died. Now let's think about this in modern day times, shall we? Have you ever wondered why, when you see Antifa or you see a lot of anarchists, whether it be in Europe or in America, they all dress with the black pants, the black shirts, the black hats, and the black face coverings? They all have black backpacks. Now, at first, you may go, well, that's just the style. You know, they're trying to look mean and dark and, you know, and kind of like little stormtroopers. I really don't think that's what it is. I think subconsciously they know, just like zebras, that when they're in that big pack and all of a sudden they step out of that pack and they swing their bike chain and crack somebody in the head or shoot them with pepper spray or bear spray, or they hit them with a stick, or they throw a Molotov cocktail at somebody, and they step back in the herd, you don't know which one of them it was. You cannot focus on that. I think they figured this out. I really do. I think people like that have figured it out. Their camouflage is right in front of you, but their camouflage is where a single group, and you cannot focus on an individual. I think you see this in a lot of different aspects in today's modern world. Right now, you see it very precisely with President Trump. President Trump is supposedly Republican, conservative, whatever you want to call him. That herd. And then you have the liberals and the Democrats and the progressives, and they're this other herd. And they throw insults back and forth, and they try to get jabs at each other and stuff like that, but nothing really ever happens. But if they can pick out and mark a particular one, they can mount a campaign, they can coordinate their attack, and they can do it relentlessly because they know who he is. Now, see, you may be thinking, well, but yeah, but he's the president. Yes, he is. How come they don't treat McConnell that way, or Ryan that way? I mean, they'll say little snotty things every now and then, but they don't really pick them out and target them like they do Trump. See, I think Trump, just like a zebra that's got a big red spot on its butt from a biologist, he is now, for the first time in several years, had a Republican president that's not just intermingling with the other zebras. He stuck his head outside of the herd, and they can see who he is, and they attack. You see this very same tactic between, and I'm gonna say something here, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC News. Those are herds. And they go back and forth, and they're always talking about ratings, and the other ones is racist, and the other ones are stupid, and all that. Nothing ever happens until they mark one particular person out of that group. And you will watch, just like lions, just like predators, they all focus now on that one particular animal, like O'Reilly. Whether he was did anything or not, I have no idea and don't care. Whether Sean Hannity did anything, don't know, don't care. Ingram, Megan, all of them. But when they latched onto that one out of the herd, they act just like lions from that point on. So when you see some things in the world today, and they don't really, you know, to me it's just an interesting thing. This is not really a rant. This is an observation that's came to me in the last couple of days just by seeing some stuff and thinking about the story of the zebras. Sometimes the camouflage is not being separated from the pack, but you're in plain sight. Kind of like liberal professors in universities. Kind of like the Republicans that don't really get a whole lot done. It's very interesting. Up until Trump actually started carving out and marking some of the people at the FBI, which were obviously should be in prison, it was just the FBI. What do you do with the FBI? But once you can carve somebody out of that herd, oh, now the attack is on. And everybody gets to focus on that over and over and over again. That's the reason I think when you hear politicians talk and they get caught with something that doesn't make them sound very good, they automatically start talking about the other side, or their side, or this was done last month, or this was said over here. What they're trying to do, I think, is going, oh, please don't spray paint me with that red dot on my butt because I'm going to get attacked. I need to get back to the herd. I need to be back in the herd and not as an individual. It's just interesting. Just something I thought about. And if you never thought about camouflage in that way, like a zebra, or not saluting a lieutenant, because if you wanted to get the lieutenant killed, just salute him in Vietnam. Pretty much is over with in just a few seconds. If you wanted to be a nasty protester, you act like zebras. If you want to hurt somebody that's in another herd, you've got to figure out a way to mark them. Once that happens, the attack is on. Like I said, not a rant, observation, something to think about, something to chew on. Now, this email, this is about the business course, totally different. No camouflage here whatsoever. This is from Jason, and I met him a couple of years ago down in Georgia, and we talked about all things fresh mussels and crawfish. Jason, if you would you email me back the name of the mussel that you said that I could actually put in the pond and they would reproduce? I'm having trouble finding that from memory. So if you'd do that for me, brother, I'd appreciate it. Now, I'm going to read some of this. And the reason I'm doing this is because there's a lot of questions on the end that I want to be able everybody to have the answers to. After a few years of listening to your advice starting a business, I finally came up with a few ideas that are relatively low effort and stupidly simple endeavors of which no one has ever turned into a good income stream. After 2 weeks living near Hipster City, I'm not going to say where it is, and having access to Facebook and Craigslist has helped tremendously. The income stream has the potential to turn into a much longer and sustainable income stream, and a few other ideas I have likely have similar potential. I have been spending the past few months learning all I can about starting and running a business. That's the, whether it's with me or somebody else, that's the right way. I saw that your business course was discounted for the month of May and was considered taking. However, I wanted to ask a few questions before commenting. Now, Jason, before we get started, I know that you're from a lot of the academic side of things, and there's usually certain ways that y'all do it. I just want to let you know ahead of time, if you take the business course, this is not the way that it is. Like when I'm explaining how you get customers in your individual area and get how to monetize the internet, and we're talking about SEO and Google and search engines, and we're getting really in depth in that in the course, I'm using a redheaded girl for the demonstration. So it's not going to be in the more dry way that you're probably getting information from more of the academic world. So I just wanted to say that out front. It's a lot more spontaneous, may not be the right word, but it's not as conformed to a traditional course that you may be thinking. So first question, how long is the login valid? Well, pretty much until a rabid chipmunk guts me in the woods somewhere and I die and I don't renew the domain name. So in other words, you're always valid. There's not a, when I sign you up, when I actually put your information in there, it never expires. And I do that for a very particular reason. There's a couple of reasons. One, I don't want you to have to rush to take the course. I don't want you to feel like you're on a timeline. People digest information in a lot of different ways. And this course is kind of like the old phrase, I'm going to open up your mouth and I'm going to turn on a fire hose. And if you're going to try to do it all at one time, you're going to drown. And you're not going to be able to let it all sink into where it matters. I mean, you know, you can do it all quick and then it's all exciting, but you're not going to be able to retain anything. Plus, I know a lot of people take this business course. They're working two jobs. They have trapping season. They have other vacations and stuff like that. So for me, there is no login timeline as far as what you can do. The second reason for that, because in 3 years from now, if you're having questions or you want to get on the business talk part of this, where it's kind of like a forum where everybody can communicate, you can get on and talk about what worked and what didn't work. And hopefully there's other people just like you that gets on there, and it's a continual learning part of a community from that. Now, I will say, on the business course, some groups of people just don't talk. Some groups want to be on there 2 or 3 hours a day, it seems like, talking about business and asking questions and stuff like that. Last few classes, I mean, I'll get on there for every day for 4 or 5 weeks, and there's like one question. And then I'll check in a couple of weeks later, and there's like one comment from somebody took the course 2 years ago. It depends on the group of people, how many people actually do that. That part of the course, the business talk, the forum, the communication part, that's up to you. Because I don't know what you're not getting or what questions you may have. So, but that's the two reasons. One, I don't want to be a time issue. And two, I want it to be able to build as a community between people that want to do this. And 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you can get back on there. Rewatch the videos, make comments, do whatever you want to do. Is it a live course or is it a series of recorded presentations and discussions? It is not a live course. I just don't think that's a very practical way to do this. It is recorded. When you start it, everything's in video, and then it switches over to audio. And the reason that I did that, I started off in video because that's the way when I take some of these courses, like my PDC and stuff for permaculture, it was all video. But what happened in that first course, which we had quite a few people in it, I didn't think that everybody was going to be on their phone as much. And that's probably an age thing of mine. But it was burning up their data because it was video. So we switched over to audio towards the end. But it is, yes, it is pre-recorded. Is it a podcast webinar-based format? No, but like I said, because of the way that life is for most people that are in the outdoor world and just blue collar and stuff like that, I just didn't think having where everybody had to be there at one time would make a whole lot of sense. Is it something that runs on a strict schedule or something that students can take at their own schedule? Your own schedule. But I will say something about this. I would not look at more than 2 or 3 videos or a couple of the audio sections a week. I would not do any more than that. Think about it. try to implement what we're talking about in some fashion, even if it's in a fantasy way, but there, so you get practical application about what we're talking about. And don't run through it too fast. So it's at your own pace, whatever you want to do. What is the process to register? And then it says, thanks for your help with these questions and your consistent encouragement to develop additional assets. Also, thanks for all your work you bring trapping to us. Thanks, Jason. What is the process to register? If you're going to do the special, you just buy it on my store, which is, at Wolfer Nation, the PGC store. You just, on any one of the categories there, you'll see that the business course is a Trapping Radio Special for $199. Just buy it. Now, the only thing that you have to do at that point is make sure that the email that you do when you fill in your name and address and all that, your email is something that you will look at. Not a throwaway email like a Gmail that you never look or you just do for a phone or something like that. Because when I get that, within about 24 to 48 hours, depending on what I've got going on and how many of these I got to do, I go through and I put all your information into the site for the security reasons. I give you a username and password. I give you some quick directions on how to use it because, you know, there's a video side, an audio side, and a business talk side. A few words of encouragement. I tell you not to be shy as far as asking questions. And I email that to you. When you get that and you go to growinganewbusiness.com, which is the website that this is on, you put in the username and password that I give you and just start on the first video. There'll be an introduction video of what it is. And then we go down through there. But there's something else about the course that I really, if you decide to take it, Jason, that I really recommend that you do. At least between every two or three videos or audios that you watch. And I would start and go through all the video first and then the audio, because it's kind of an order fashion there. But in between those, go back to the very beginning of the business talk and read the questions either from me or from the students and listen and read the responses and think about them before you go to the next question. Some of the most amazing information, and what blew me away from doing the business talk this way, is you get some invaluable information from students talking to students. And then maybe asking me a question, I give a response, you have someone with a different life experience, with a different business, or they've already tried this and it didn't work, or they did that, but then they did this and it worked better. That all that that's inside of that, of the business talk, is probably just as valuable as anything else. Because when we get into all the social capital building, at the first course, Tim, Meat Trapper, was on there and he answered a lot of really technical type stuff. Videos, how to do videos, different things like that. And just all of the other students with all of their life experiences with trying or being successful at different revenue streams, invaluable information. But if you don't go back and take the time to look at those, you're going to miss out on some very important information. So I would schedule, if you're going to do a video a week, spend an hour the next time looking at the business talk going from beginning forward. Very simple to do. Sign up on the store. I'll send you your stuff. You just get started. You have questions, put it in the business talk. And if it doesn't seem like I'm on there for whatever reason, because I may be on vacation or something like that, just email me and say, I've got some questions over on the business course. Like I said, because some of the courses, everybody's really quiet. And no matter how much I tried to prod them into talking, they just don't want to do it. And I can't force anybody to do it. And so eventually I get to where I don't go there as much because I just keep looking at my last, thing that I said. So really pay attention to the business talk. Go back through there. Start with the videos. Finish with the audio. And when you have questions or stuff, because what's going to happen is everybody that's taken the course that I've talked to, this has been the response. I thought I wanted to do this, and then I realized that's not really what I wanted to do. It's what I thought I wanted to do, basically because that was my, what everybody else thinks I should do because of kind of like ego type thing. And then it goes to, I would like to try this, and then because it's very creative what we're doing in this, Jason. It's very creative as far as getting you to think way outside of a box. And you start the course normally from inside the box. And you kind of bounce around the edges a little bit. And then you end up on the outside of this box, and you're like just a freaking racehorse running in 800 different directions because all of a sudden you start seeing things in a totally different manner. And you got to start reining yourself in about what it is that you want to do and how you're going to build social capital and get clients and pick the right clients and understand how Google and analytics and all that type of stuff works inside of the internet or a brick and mortar or service or something like that. Very creative course. I would be highly surprised if you took it and didn't like it. You know, but that's totally up to you. But regardless whether you take the course or not, you're doing the right thing. Biggest part of the reason most businesses fail is not because of their product or service, because they don't know how to stay in business, they don't know how to get customers, they don't know how to keep customers, and they don't know how to keep evolving so they don't start getting stagnant. And all the other income stuff with cash flows and all that, that's all in there. But the creative side is, in today's world, is where it's at. The days of just building a widget and selling a widget, unless you've got millions of dollars, is over. So I hope that answers your question and any other questions that someone has on the business course if you're thinking about taking it. And if you are, make sure I've got a good email. And to the rest of y'all have a good week. And I will talk to y'all on Trapping Radio this Friday.